And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 719, as we continue our team-by-team previews to get you ready for the 2025 fantasy baseball season. We're going to talk Minnesota Twins today up there in the Twin City, a team that always has potential. Sometimes they show it, sometimes they don't. It's always an up-and-down grind with them, but when it comes to fantasy, they do have relevance from more often than not. And to help me break down the Minnesota Twins is a friend of mine, a friend of the show, a man that's been nice enough to do the Twins for us since the inception of this wild project here. You can find him on Twitter at dmindy02. David Middleton, how are we doing, my friend?
Doing good, Bubba. Thanks so much for having me. It's always fun talking about my Twins and how they're going to disappoint us every single year. But like you said, they have some very fantasy-relevant players and some interesting players to look at for this season. So excited to talk about these guys.
For sure, for sure. Before we actually get player by player, I ask every guest, what were your kind of, I guess, thoughts on how the 2024 season went?
It's just typical Twins fashion. I mean, whether you want to talk about them making the playoffs and getting booted, whether you want to talk about a collapse like it was last season, whether you want to talk about them just underperforming, again, like you were saying, there's not too many Twins fans out there publicly on the Twitter sphere, but it's a constant disappointment every year. It's just different ways it happens. So I've kind of grown to become numb to it. If they ever go to the ALCS, I might change that, but it hasn't happened in my ever since, you know, the Puckett days. I was born that year, so I can't remember that. But pretty much ever since I've been a fan going back to like 2003, this has been what it is.
It's almost like me when it comes to the Miami Dolphins, the team I root for in football. They were relevant right before I was born and a little bit after. They were relevant, I should say. They haven't won a postseason game since like 2000 or 2001, something like that. It's so far, I don't even want to remember. I might have been in high school. I might not have been in high school yet. I can't remember yet. So, it's the same thing. They always do just enough to get you excited, then to disappoint every single season. All right, so we're going to start talking Twins here. For anybody keeping track at home, I'm going to reference ADP from January 1st. There's about 11 drafts in draft champions over that time, but that's just for talking points. I want to talk, get Mindy's thoughts here on some of these guys. We're going to kick it off with the 2025 Bubba in the Blue mascot, Willie Castro, Slick Willie, as we like to call him on the show. ADP is around 235. Dude can play every position, and now it looks like, you know, in years past when we do this show, Mindy, he would be just like a utility guy, but still play a bunch of games because there's always injuries and whatnot. Now he's like slotted in to potentially be a starting player for this team and lead off. So what are your thoughts on Willie Castro if he's actually in that everyday role?
I think he's a solid piece. I mean, you look at his batting average the last two seasons, 247, 257, OBP and slugging were nearly identical. The only thing that I was a little concerned about was he had 200 more at-bats, but he had 19 less stolen bases this year, and which makes me think was 2023 an abnormality, because 2024 aligns more with what he did the previous two seasons before 2023, where he had 9 each year. Like you said, his eligibility is great. He's going around, I have the ADP from July or from December 21st. He was going around 236. But again, I think the ADP is fair for someone that's going to get a lot of at-bats, again, probably near 500 at-bats if he stays healthy, multiple positions, score a lot of runs. I have no problem with him here. I just hope the steals go back up to double digits or to closer to 20 like we saw in 2023.
Yeah, steals is the big thing. I'm excited about potentially everyday leadoff role. We'll see how long that lasts. I've heard some people say, oh, yeah, he'll keep it. Some not so much. We'll see how all that unfolds. But I do like the potential of him playing every single day. All right, let's go to Carlos Correa, a guy that when healthy, you know, you got 20 home runs, good batting average, doesn't run. But the whole part I mentioned there is when healthy. And what's crazy, when I just pulled up his player page, dude's just going to be 30 this year. Like, it feels like he's been playing forever. That's with wild. The Astros before he came to Minnesota. So what's your thoughts on Correa? Because he used to be a staple at shortstop. Now he's around 250-ish, give or take. Mm-hmm. So he's now more of a middle infield potentially. How are you feeling on a guy like Carlos Correa?
I think he's one of those players, he's similar to another player that's on the Twins, where there's an injury discount. And at what point in ADP are you willing to take the injury discount? Because an ADP of, like you said, in the 250s, he's off injured, but last year hit 310, 14 homers in less than a 320 at bats. Like, that's a really solid player if he were able to stay healthy and play more games. You know, I'm not drafting him in like a Gladiators type draft, but like, you know, in terms of just a regular redraft, you know, 12 team league, I think he's valuable at that spot. Again, I'm not jumping ADP to go get him, but like, if he falls in my lap, I think there are worse things that can happen, but you have to have a contingency in knowing if he's your starting middle infielder, you might have to draft, you know, for some depth there, because I don't think you can rely on him for the full season, but you can see that there's still talent there and he's going to hit in the middle part of the Twins lineup. So he's going to be able to give you counting stats when he's healthy.
Yeah, that's a big thing. He's going to still hit pretty much probably cleanup fifth, something like that. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be there every time whenever he gets healthy. So if he can give you 120 games or so, you're going to be just fine. And God forbid he actually plays 140 plus. You never know what's going to take place there. The other player I think you might have been mentioning, again, just the Twins, there could be a few. Actually, I think you're talking about someone else. Now I think about it, talk about discount. We're going to talk Royce Lewis here, another off-injured Minnesota Twin. ADP's in the 125-ish, 130 range, depends on when you're drafting these days. We've seen tons of power. We've also seen last year things just fell apart as the season went on. And I think he might have been playing hurt. I don't know. This is pure speculation. What are our thoughts on Royce Lewis? Because this is a guy, Mindy, that we thought was like a first, second-round talent. Now, due to injuries, he's falling quite a bit in reality. So, like, in a 12-team league, you get him, like, in the 10th, 11th round, which is kind of enticing, actually. So, what's your thoughts on Royce Lewis?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, I think his ADP was a fifth-round pick, if I remember last year. He was, like, in the top 60.
Yeah.
I mean, so his ADP is nearly double that this year. And people will look, obviously, his full 162 game stats look good, but people look at from his August 9th on, he hit 198 with two homers and 16 RBIs and 43 strikeouts. That looked like a completely different player from the guy that you would plug in when he came back in the lineup, would literally hit a homer every at bat, it seemed like. And finally, he kind of stayed healthy down the stretch, and he lost it. He didn't adapt well. I was reading an article from Twins Daily that said he wasn't adapting well when he got moved to second base. He hadn't been playing that position, so that was messing with him mentally. But one of the things that allowed him down the stretch, because he stayed healthy down the stretch for the most part, he played in 58 of the final 61 games, is the Twins really altered his physical program. He did less weightlifting and more mobility, more yoga, more stretching, kind of what the Yankees were trying to do with Giancarlo Stanton a little bit here. But one of the things is, I don't think his body was used to playing that many games after how much time he's missed with injuries. And it showed, because he lost 1.7 miles per hour of bat speed. Once you look at that August 9th stretch on. So the fatigue, the mounting injuries he'd had over time. But you read this offseason, he's been taking his workouts really seriously. He's lost weight. He actually just got married like a week ago. So he was trying to cut weight for his wedding. changed his whole workout routine. They said he's hitting with three different types of at-bats when he's going in the batting cages, just to work on hitting the ball with more intent with each of the different types of bats. I think he's one of those things with the workout program he's on, with seeming like he's locked in this offseason with the fact that there have not been injuries that were mounting at the end of the season. I really like the fact that his ADP is now double and I can take him after pick 100. So to me, like you're saying, well, I think this is kind of too steep of a price, or too easy of a discount here for Royce Lewis, what he can do. And I'm very much intrigued at this ADP. I'll probably draft him quite a ton here.
Yeah, it's very intriguing. You mentioned the workout regimen. I was reading some stuff on that because he's admitted that, hey, I got to be able to like be healthy. That's where I started. When I started hearing him say that, like it never came out and said it, but like we were talking about, I think he was hurt or just not. As the season went on, he just wasn't there, basically. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that with younger players. And the other enticing thing, like we're talking, he's a third base guy right now, but he's also said he's working out to play second base a lot this year. So you might get that middle infield CI type stuff. And that's a whole type of game changer potentially as well at that type of ADP. So, yeah, if we would have had this talk maybe a month and a half ago, I'd have been like, yeah, I don't know. I have a lot of questions with Lewis. And he's still not like out of the weeds with what's going on there, but definitely a guy that I'm much more enticed to, especially with that ADP dropping quite a bit.
Yeah, I think he, again, is somebody that you're not drafting in the top five rounds anymore. He says a double-digit round pick. And, yeah, like, obviously he's a starter for you. He's not like a bench piece where there is risk. But I think with his prospect pedigree, with what he's shown he can do when he's healthy, and the fact that he seems like he's taken his offseason very seriously with his approach, I think he's one of those guys that you could be saying you'll never get him after pick 100 ever again after this next season.
I'm with you. All right, I think the player you're talking about coming at a discount because he's often injured, and most listeners of any baseball show can figure this one out, is Byron Buxton. Buxton's coming in with an ADP in the 250s right now, which is very low for him. He will be a util. Oh, no, he's got outfield again. I forgot. Yeah. He had util last year, outfield this year. He played 102 games last year, the only second time in his career, first time since 2017, of 100-plus games. But and honestly, the per plate was pretty good, all things considered. So what are our thoughts on Buxton? Because now that you're not paying the premium, it's almost like that, again, to mention his name again, it's a Giancarlo drop in ADP in theory, because you know you're going to have a period where he's not around. That's just going to happen. But is the production good enough to deal with it?
Again, with a lot of these twins, it's like you see this injury discount and ADP, you said around 250. It's his actually first time in 6 years he hasn't had to rehab from an injury this offseason where he's actually been able to focus on hitting. It is wild. Like you think like your offseason, you're like, no, I'm going to work on my hitting. I'm going to, you know, work on the things that are going to get me better. No, he's working on just getting back on the field. So like that could be in itself something that could help Buxton for next season. And like you mentioned, 102 games, the most since 2017. A 279 batting average with 18 homers. What's interesting too is like we talked about his outfield eligibility now. He made 94 defensive appearances out there after not making any in 2023. I don't think you can expect the Byron Buxton that was borderline, like I don't want to say superstar, but he looked like at certain points in his career, if he had stayed healthy, he was going to be a big time all-star. And the Twins thought so too, because they gave him a nice contract. I don't think you can expect that from Byron Buxton. I think what you can expect is if you're getting him around 250, he can be one of your last outfielders that you pick that for some weeks of the season could look like one of your best outfielders. And then there's some weeks of the season he's not going to be available. And then there's he's not a consistent player, but his end of the year numbers, assuming he stays healthy, should be decent enough at this price to where I think it's worth it. The one thing is, again, I would not expect stolen bases from him. He only had 7 last season, and it seems like he's kind of trying to prioritize him staying on the field. So I think most of his running is going to be in the outfield trying to chase a fly ball, not on the base path. So, again, good discount for him in round 250. He's not one of my I got to have him targets, but, again, the right draft, the way things play out, I wouldn't be hesitant to take him here.
Yeah, and for listeners, I'd much be more inclined to draft a Buxton in a 12-team league where you can replace him potentially, mm-hmm. or a 15. That just because the upside is tremendous. If he puts together 130-plus games, and these are big ifs, he's only gone 140 one time, like we kind of talked about. But you never know. Like, things change. The guy's offseason, like you said, he's not rehabbing an injury. That's insane to think about for the last 6 years. And so there's a lot of, you know, pluses in his direction right now compared to most offseasons when we're talking. Matt Wallner, this is a dude I've fallen in love with on the waiver wire the last couple of years because he just goes there and he just swings and he tries to hit as hard as he can, and it's awesome. And then he started actually hitting for a little bit of an average at one point last year, which was fun. And then he stopped platooning, which was fun. Mm-hmm. So it looks like Matt Wallner might actually have an everyday job, which works for fantasy. His ADP is in the 280s right now, but it fluctuates. Depends on what draft you're in, because there are some Wallner fans out there. But what are your thoughts here? Because it's a guy that still swings and misses a lot, but when he makes contact, it's beautiful.
Yeah, that 36.4% strikeout rate last year is not going to get it done. But like you said, I mean, if you look at his 2023 and 2024 combined numbers, which is 151 games, he's got 27 homers and 78 RBIs with 28 doubles. He hits the ball hard, like you mentioned, 17.5% barrel rate, a 53.2 hard hit rate. Ball just kind of flies off of his bat. And one of the reasons I'm really excited for him this year is Manuel Margot and Max Kepler are both gone. Those are two outfield spots that were covered last year. So there should be more chances for him to play in the outfield now. I also think Jose Miranda is going to go to first base. So that will be occupied. But, you know, DH could be one of the corner outfielders. And if you look, the beginning of last year was pretty rough for him. But over his last 55 games, he hit .272 with 10 homers. So the batting average really came on at the end. The one thing I'm hoping he can do a little bit better this year is hit lefties, because only 38 at-bats, granted, but 184 versus lefties. So I don't, like you're saying, hopefully he won't platoon. and hopefully they give him a chance, because I think if you give him a longer leash, he could produce. But I'm excited about him. You know, an ADP that's, I think, pretty reasonable, right around, you know, like in the 270s-ish or so. So I think Matt Waller is a great target here.
Yep, I am with you 100% on this one. Very, very intrigued to see a regular playing time Matt Waller. That's gonna, what could he potentially do in the power department? Very exciting. You mentioned Jose Miranda, and that's our next guy to talk about here. And it is nice to see they're thinking of potentially putting him at first base, it looks like. I think, I can't remember the exact quote I saw over the weekend. It's basically, we have no other options. This is who our first baseman was, is the way they said it in a roundabout way, which isn't like endearing by any means, but he's still the guy. Miranda has an ADP of around 350. So a guy that's going to be first base, third base, most likely. ADP of 350. And Mindy, we've seen signs where he looks really, really good. And we've also had some like, what's going to go on here? What's your thoughts on Jose Miranda going into 2025?
He's interesting. Like, I remember a couple of years ago, he was one of my big guys, one of the big breakouts based on everything he was in the minor leagues, how much power he was hitting. And I loved just his limited at-bats in the majors. And then he tanked the following year. So then last offseason, I was kind of in the middle about him. I wasn't sure how to feel. And he had a very much kind of up and down season, like you mentioned. I think a lot of people, that one of the first things that comes to mind is this past season that he reached base in 17 straight games and tied an MLB record with 12 straight hits. I remember that happening in the middle of the summer. And it kind of was like the correlation of what Jose Miranda can be. But you look, he hit from June 20th to July 10th, he hit 492 with 31 hits and 19 RBIs, an OBP of 528. Over that stretch. Obviously, he's not going to be that good, but there is that potential where he can hit for a really good average. A 284 average in general last season was really good. I would like to see more power there, because obviously that did not translate quite. I think he had 9 homers last season. And one of the things after the All-Star break, he hit the IL, and it looked like he wasn't right after that. He hit 212 with 31 hits after the All-Star break. So I'm hoping at first base, it's a new position, but hopefully that's less taxing defensive position compared to third where he was playing. Hopefully a full season where he's not hurt would be great. But he is also one of the Twins. He's going to probably hit, I would think, somewhere in like the top six, probably like 5-6, if I had to guess, in the Twins lineup. I think he's going to be a solid piece for your fantasy team at around the 350 ADP. So again, another Twins player that has a tracky injury history. But I do think he is intriguing at the 350 ADP.
Yeah, it's definitely a guy, get that eligibility at that ADP, does give you some options there for sure. Brooks Lee, this is a guy, a big-time prospect, got a call last year. We saw some signs of it, but it was a lot of inconsistent playing time, which always bothers me with trying to decide how good a player really is. He'll be 24 this year. Looks like he's going to have the starting second baseman role, which would be good because then he has second base shortstop coming up. An ADP is almost between 380 and 400 right now. Depends on what draft you're in. Mm-hmm. So he's going super late because there are questions about Brooks Lee. There's no doubt about that. What are you hearing? What are your thoughts on him for someone that might know a lot more, or more about him, I should say, being a Twins fan?
But he's got a great prospect pedigree. He's got great gap-to-gap power. I wouldn't even be surprised at some point if Twins suffer a lot of injuries. He can play third base too, so he could get basically all three infield positions besides first base eligibility. And he's got great bat to ball skills. I don't know. Again, is he going to hit 30 home runs next year? Probably not, but you know, 20 plus I think could be in his future. And if those remember, he came up, he was one of the top waiver wire ads because he started out 11 for 24 in his first 6 games. But he was cold pretty much the rest of the year after that. And again, you could say it's pitching adjustments. You could say he also missed time because of a shoulder injury. Underwhelming numbers on the season in general, but he again was one of the Twins' top prospects. He did miss time with injuries. There was flashes of what he can do. I think when he is healthy, he's the type of bat that could challenge Willie Castro to hit a top of the lineup if he's raking. He's the guy that can get on base for the, you know, more of the Twins' power guys. So I think with, you know, an AEP at around 400, he's an intriguing dart throw, to say the least. And I wouldn't be hesitant to take a look at him.
And that makes a lot of sense. He would be a prototypical leadoff hitter. So that would be quite interesting to see how that looks. And again, at that ADP, there's definitely room for growth. 24 years old, could see some fun indeed. Ryan Jeffers, a guy that I loved last year because he was on fire to start the year, and then things kind of petered out. And that's been a trend over the last couple of years with Ryan Jeffers. If it's either playing time or production or both when it comes to him. Well, right now you're paying a 240-ish ADP, which not horrible for a potential catcher too, I guess. Going to be 27 years old. How are we feeling on Jeffers this year? Because like I said, his last year he was the guy doing his thing, and then playing time and production kind of disappeared.
Yeah, he's probably out of the guys we've mentioned, the guy I'm probably least excited about because, yeah, he is a catcher. So, like, there is appeal because catcher's numbers aren't supposed to be as good. And you look that he upped his power to 21 homers from 14 the previous season, but the batting average tanked. Christian Vasquez started splitting and platooning a lot more with him than he was in the beginning of the season. I'm just not overly excited about him. I think there was potential, like you mentioned, he was someone that we were kind of excited about going into next year. Last season, I'm just not super excited, and I wasn't super in love with what I saw. And Christian Vasquez is I think, a pretty decent catcher in terms of someone he could share that. It's not like he's a liability offensively, and he's okay defensively. I'm just, yeah, Jeffers, I think, is an okay catcher to target, but he's not somebody I'm jumping to go draft. I think he kind of is what he is. I think, maybe if he plays, if he gets similar at bats, he could challenge for 20 homer power. I just don't think that batting average is something you can count on.
Yep. That's where I'm at. Like I said, I loved it last year. I think I'm moving on this year is the way I'm looking at it with Jeffers, especially when they brought Vasquez back. I'm like, yep, that just has writing on the wall all over again.
Yeah.
In that scenario. I hope I'm wrong because Jeffers was fun to watch, but I just feel like that's the play. Before we head to the mound, you don't have to talk about these guys, but like Trevor Larnach, Edward Julian, Austin Martin, guys that all have roles throughout the year, but nothing that I'm like in love with, but maybe I'm wrong. If you have anything on them, go for it. If not, we will move to the mound.
I mean, the only thing with Larnach is he's projected to hit third, according to Roster Resource, and he was somebody that was hitting towards the top of the Twins order last year. The production for that spot wasn't amazing. He had 15 homers. I think if he were to play, I think he played like 112 games last season. If he's playing 120 to 130, I think there is a chance maybe he could hit 20 homers, but he's not somebody, again, I'm like, oh, you got to draft Trevor Larnach. I think he's someone at the end of the year, you look, he could have 20 homers, 80 RBIs, and you'd be like, he's okay. He's somebody that I can plug in, if I have a, 15 team league with a deep bench, I can plug him in, this week in my lineup because he's playing at Colorado. I'll play him, but like, it's not somebody you're excited to start or looking to draft. And Edward Julian, I think, has become a platoon back because he struggles hitting lefties. So I just think he has some power in there. But Julian, I think we were all excited more about the last couple seasons. I think he's kind of settled into he is what he is at this point.
Okay. Yeah, that's why I just wanted to ask just in case. But and on the Larnach front, basically what you were talking about is why me and Ryan on our fab shows every year or every week was like, yep, Twins have a bunch of righties they're facing. Go get Trevor Larnach. Otherwise, yep. You just platoon him and move on type scenario. All right, let's head to the mound where the Twins usually have a slew of pitchers that are always fantasy viable, and they had a handful of them again this year. We'll start with Pablo Lopez, that when we first started doing the show, we didn't know if his shoulder would stay on, and it was just crazy. Now he's just been a perennial ace for the Minnesota Twins, which is pretty impressive, and now Pablo comes with an ADP in this 60 to 70 range, depending on what draft you're in right now. So what are your thoughts on Pablo Lopez? Because he's not like flashy by any means, but he continually just gets it done.
Yeah, I think he's one of those guys. You look at his season long numbers and they're going to be good. Like, obviously ERA was in the fours, 4.08 last year compared to 3.65 the year before. And he's nearly a good bet for 200 strikeouts, assuming that he stays healthy. But the one thing that always makes me hesitant to draft him is he has the starts, I think, as much as any other ace out there, where he just absolutely just looks like he's lost on the mound. He had 9 of his 32 starts last year. We gave up 4 or more in earned runs, but they had a couple outings where he gave up 6 or 7. It wasn't just once. And that's just that inconsistency where I'm like, if I'm starting a Tarik Skubal, I'm expecting maybe 1 or 2 of those starts all season. There's certain guys that just, I can't take that hit to my ratios. Or if you're in a points league and you take like a minus 20, from those types of starts that just loses you your entire week. I'm looking around where he was going at the time. I was looking at ADP, and I much more would rather take the upside we saw in Michael King or someone I feel was a little bit more consistent in Framber Valdez personally. I just, again, he's just, for me, again, the strikeouts will definitely be there. He'll be a top five strikeout pitcher in the American League. He's going to have starts where he goes seven innings, one earned run, 11 strikeouts, and just absolutely looks dominant. I can't take the negative that comes with him at this price.
That's fair. That's why he's a tough one, because he's not flashy. He puts up a handful of really good starts. I guess the end game looks good, but like you mentioned, the names going around him, there's some upside potential, one might say, where it's a little, or strikeout, but Lopez gets more strikeouts than I think people give him credit for, but still, yeah, the overall production could be different is the best way I could say it. Joe Ryan, I am really curious to see what you have to say here, because Joe Ryan is a pitcher that we saw a lot to like, and then he had his shoulder issues, and it just ended his season, and I don't know where all that stands. I haven't really been able to find anything concise on that. Maybe I'm looking in the wrong places, but like they're saying he's going to be fine and ready for the year, but I hear shoulder and I want more details for me. Right. ADP is, you know, around the 90s, give or take. What are your thoughts on Joe Ryan?
I was reading an article, and there was, again, a Twins Daily article, and they had basically comparing his Terry's major lat or the shoulder injury to four pitchers that had a similar injury in basically the last like five or six seasons. And they took out any like all-star pitchers. They took out ones that were kind of to his similar thing. And one of them was like Freddie Peralta. I forgot the other three guys. One was Jose Leclerc, obviously reliever, but they basically tried to do their best to kind of say what their outcomes were the following season. And all four pitchers ended up pitching the next season and didn't have any setbacks, didn't have performance incredibly go worse. Like they very much the last 5 years they sustained this injury, they were very normal the following season. So that was encouraging to me. And you obviously see he has a 344 XFIB, a 328 Sierra. K rate was 17th best in the bigs, around 27%. So there is a lot to like there. But like you said, just because other pitchers have come back from this and have been okay does not mean Joe Ryan's necessarily going to be that way. And you see shoulder and it's already a question mark. If there was a bigger discount, I think I would be interested, but he's going still around 100, which is still to me a little bit rich for someone that does have the question marks and also had some inconsistency last year, to say the least, with how many home runs he was giving up. I don't hate the player. I think he is a good player. I just, with the coming back from the injury, even though the track record for this injury does seem okay, and the fact that he was inconsistent certain parts of last season, I probably won't use that high of a pick on him.
Yes, you don't hate the player, you hate the game.
Yeah.
That's my thing with the Ryan deal, is if he was a little cheaper, I'd probably be in it. Like, we just joked, it's about, we didn't know what to do with Pablo Lopez and his shoulder, and he's been great ever since. So you mentioned the track records have been pretty good, and Ryan might just be fine. But at that ADP, I'm a safe drafter, and that's just something I don't want to deal with when all things are considered. Now I can't wait till spring training starts. He starts looking good, and then, you know, things get really fun in those regards. But we'll have to wait and see on that one. All right, Bailey Ober. This is one kid that I like. I had a lot of shares last year, and now he's up. He's going about 10 picks in front of Joe Ryan at around 80-ish, 80, 85. What's your thoughts on Bailey Ober? Because this is the guy I have been trying to get in drafts as like an SP2 or SP3 if I'm aggressive in pitching.
Yeah, I mean, he's 80 around in the 80s ADP, like you mentioned. He's obviously, and I know, like you mentioned, I'm not the only one excited about him. There's plenty of people that, obviously, with an ADP where it is, people are expecting a lot for him. And I think they can look at some tangible results. 11 consecutive quality starts last season. And his changeup is what really kind of, I think, vaulted him to the next level. He learned it from Randy Dobnak, and it went from being a average to a little below average pitch to a plus 10 run differential last season, just in terms of how great it was, according to StatCast run value. 40.5% whiff rate, third best among all pitchers to use a changeup in 100 plate appearances last season, only behind Reagan's and Scooble. And no pitcher had a lower expected batting average against that pitch than his 158. I think you see 390 ERA, you see nearly 200 strikeouts, and I think you're just scratching the surface of what he can be. So I think, you know, I've seen a couple of people even talk about he's a dark horse for Cy Young potentially for the American League. And I don't hate that pick either. I think he's kind of putting it together. And I think this is a pretty good, even though you're having to take him in top 80 picks now, which is, you know, it's not cheap, but I think people see the value and see the change in his arsenal and see the change in the pitcher he is now. Not to mention he's a big pitcher already, as he's like 6'7". So I love Bailey Ober. I will definitely try to draft him as much as I can, but it seems like everybody is also kind of on that same guard there. So,
yep. You got to get aggressive if you want Ober. That's for sure. These days it's a popular name on the streets. All right. So that's the top three. It's a very, very, very good top three. There's no denying that. Now it's kind of a mix and match of, I think one guy's got an advantage because he's older and got paid a little more. There's a bunch of guys that are fighting for the final two spots. Yeah, Simeon Woods Richardson, Chris Paddock is the guy getting paid, so I have a feeling he might get the upper hand here. Mm-hmm. Zebby Matthews, who we saw a little glimpse of last year, maybe needs more seasoning. And then David Festa, who looks awesome. Yeah. So how do you see this shaking out, or how would you want to approach it in fantasy? Because just for context for listeners, I should have had this prepped ahead of time. Woods Richardson's ADP is around 530, give or take. Festa's is around 290. We have Paddock coming in at almost 600, and Matthews, that's not spelled correctly. Let's try Zebby coming in at 406. So they're scattered. You have to pay for Festa. The rest of them come cheap to really, really cheap. So how do you approach this for fantasy though? Because I think they all have their moments this year, but how do we start the year potentially?
Well, like you mentioned, I think Paddock's getting paid. I think assuming he's healthy, he's going to get a rotation spot. And my guess is Festa will get the last spot based on his performance last year. The only one I'm interested at all in drafting in this group is Festa, even though the other ones are basically free, just because how great Matthews or how great Festa was down the stretch. I felt like he was pitching quality starts. He needs to go more innings. They need to stretch him out a little bit more. There were some outings he was going like four innings. He wasn't consistently going even enough for a quality start, but I'm excited for what I think he's going to be this year. And obviously the ADP reflects that, considering he's going a lot higher than the other ones. Paddock, for someone that should start in the rotation going, you said like ADP 600, I think that's worth, you know, you can draft him as one of your last picks and just see what happens. If he can recapture what he used to be with San Diego, he's going to have to pitch also longer into games. He only pitched six innings or more four times in 2024, and he had a handful of starts. It wasn't like he only had 10 starts. So to be honest with you, Bubba, I look at the – it's kind of funny you grouped them all together, because I almost picture like the image of you're taking like just stuff and throwing it against the wall and seeing what sticks.
Pretty much.
And that's what I feel like these four are. It's like we have our top three. These four guys are competing. Whichever two seem like they – kind of set themselves apart will be the two we'll use in the back end most of the season. There's not, again, I think sitting here today, we can both agree that Festa looks like the inside track for the best of this group, but it's far from a guarantee. So I think that's kind of how the Twins are looking at it. They're going to kind of let their performance speak for how they're going to start the year here.
Yeah. Cause like the way I see it, it's like Paddock has the upper hand with the age and the money, but you know, he's not the beacon of health. So we'll see how that goes. Fest is the best right now out of this group. Maybe we'll be long-term, but for now. So I feel like he's the five, but then you got Simeon Woods Richardson, who was like serviceable. He wasn't flashy by any means, but he was serviceable and just eats innings up, which gives more to say than some of these other pitchers these days. So it's very interesting. Zebby could be good someday, kind of got rushed up and, you know, had his hiccups. So they'll all have their moments, but I think to me, if I had to like guess, it's Paddock and Festa that start the year. So one ADP close to 700, one's 290, but I think they're all gonna, you know, be there at some point and see how it plays out.
It's interesting that like it just makes me think, because you see when a player gets traded for prospects and you're like, this team stole this trade or this team won the deal by a landslide. The Twins got Austin Martin, Simeon Woods Richardson for Jose Berrios. Yep. And they were lauding that return and saying the Twins made out like bandits in that trade. The thing was, Richardson looks like an average starter at best. And Austin Martin, there's still a long way to go for him, but he wasn't super impressive in his limited time either. And I isn't one of those things that people are super excited for him this year. It just goes to show it's interesting, you know, with prospects. I think that's why some teams are aggressive with trading them. And they're like, you know, why would I, if I have a proven commodity, I'm willing to take that risk over this prospect becoming, you know, like Fernando Tatis, you know, like with the White Sox when they traded him. It's just interesting. You know, go back a couple of years ago and you see how much people were excited about that trade for the Twins and kind of what it's turned out to be.
I remember. Yeah, there's a lot of Jays fans that were furious. And Jose Berríos has been a very solid, like, third pitcher in a rotation, almost second pitcher in a rotation. He's been like that consistently good outside of the one hiccup year. He's been very, very good.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show you that prospects are prospects till proven otherwise. That's just the exception. And you could go back through time and, like, yeah, there's the Tatises and obviously other exceptions. But I think majority of trades, if people look back, like, probably was at best even, at best, yeah, if not on the other half of it. So that's just the reality. That's why you said a lot of teams are just like right now, the Nats are looking great for their moves from Soto and stuff. Like, they're doing it. And right now the National, or the White Sox, have like six guys in the top 60. Are they going to be in worth the top? Like, that, they see, that's the next one. Did their trades work out? Question. So it's all good until it's not, type situation.
Right.
All right, let's go to the bullpen. You have Johan Duran, who is pretty darn good, pretty, pretty good. He's got an ADP of 65 these days. And you also got Griffin Jacks, who's really, really good. His ADP is around 280 right now. So how are you approaching this bullpen? Are you interested in paying an ADP of 65 for Duran if you're in a draft and hold? Are you trying to target a Griffin Jacks? How do you see things playing out here?
Man, I love Griffin Jacks. I'm happy they were tempted to, or they were toying with the idea of putting him in the rotation for a little while. But his slider is just ridiculous. He would be a great closer for a team that needed a closer. And, you know, maybe if things go really bad for the Twins, maybe Duran becomes a piece they shop and try to get something back, and then Jacks becomes a closer. So I think if you're in a saves and holds league, you got to draft Griffin Jacks just for the one. He's going to give you a ton of holds, great ERA, tons of strikeouts. Two, for the fact that if for some reason Duran does eventually get dealt at some point, Jacks would become, it's just scary to think how good of a closer he could be if he got the extended opportunity. But Duran in himself, like, he's going to give you near 30 saves, like a three-ish ERA, a great whip, good strikeouts. Like, Duran, he is what he is. I think he's proven himself at this point that he's a pretty safe closer in terms of what you can expect from him. Again, it could be a little wild at times. Like, he does have a good whip, but he doesn't always make it easy when he's on the mound. Like, he does have some wild pitches here and there, but I like both these guys. They're as good of a back end as you'll see in the bigs, and I think both are worth drafting. Again, Jacks may be worth a saves and holds league, but both guys are great.
Yeah, I'm a huge Jacks fan. I've taken him so many years in a row in draft and holds because he's been later and later. Now the price is getting up there. We have to kind of at least think about it a little more where he's getting drafted. But and Duran's so weird because he's got the nastiest stuff. But like you mentioned, it's not always easy. Mm-hmm. And then when Baldelli uses the bullpen, it's not always consistent there either.
Yeah.
Like, he might use, so it's it. That's the only caveat, is he's getting drafted with the elite closers, but he's kind of like the back end of the elite just due to those two little factors. Right. Still very, very good. Very, very good. Anybody else pitching-wise we should be keeping note of before we talk about maybe some prospects?
The only other one maybe would be Cole Sands. He had four saves last year. He kind of looks like if for some reason Duran and Jacks aren't available, he would be the guy they'd plug in for saves. That's just kind of really the only one I would potentially look at.
And for keeping track, Cole Sands' ADP is like 630, so good in game spec for sure in a draft and hold. All right, let's talk prospects. Every team's different. Some have a bunch, some don't have any. What are we looking at with the Twins these days that could have an impact this year? I don't need the whole prospect list.
Right. I will start with Walker Jenkins, who right now they're projecting he comes up in 2026, but I could easily see he's the number two prospect in all of baseball according to MLB.com. But if he goes ahead, I mean, he went through four levels last season, starting the year in AA this year. I wouldn't be shocked if you're talking about the last couple months of the season, if he were to get a little bit of a look after if they're out of the playoffs or at some point they have injuries. I think he could be someone that you could see like on that waiver wire come August or something to potentially take a look at. So he's obviously the highest prospect in their system and someone that I wouldn't draft, but I would definitely look at the waiver wire if you're not in a non-NFBC league. The Emmanuel Rodriguez is another outfielder for them. He went through four levels last season. I expect him to compete for a spot in spring training. But he hit .298 in Double A last year with an 1100 OPS. Didn't look great in Triple A, but only had a limited sample there. Lefty, great combination of power, bat speed, is good plate discipline. He needs to work on his strikeout rate, but does draw a lot of walks. Walked over 20% of the time last year, and then hits the ball really hard. So he's somebody, again, maybe Trevor Larnach's not cutting it, Wallner's not looking good, or there's injuries. He'd be one of the first guys, I think, that will get called up. And again, or maybe he even starts the year with the Twins, but he'll be up, I think, pretty quickly at some point. Luke Koschel, he's another prospect for them. He was actually drafted in 2023, and he's already got a shot to play in the bigs next season. He's a second baseman, but he can also play outfield. He's got pretty good speed. Someone that can be a good leadoff hitter for the Twins if it came back to that. He's really athletic, steals a lot of bases, great defensively. So he'd be someone that the Twins are lacking, a good leadoff hitter, or good speed at the top, or, you know, Willie Castro's not doing the job. He would be somebody that could potentially also come up at some point in the season. The only pitcher I would say that maybe keep an eye on is Marco Raya. He's, again, kind of a project, but he's somebody that could potentially, if there's, you know, injuries with the Twins' arms, I think he'd be one of the first pitchers that could come up, assuming he's doing okay in the minor leagues. I don't think he'll start the year with them, though.
Well, on the bright side, as the Twins have, we talked about all the options in the rotation right now, so they can develop some more pitch and they have time there, because a lot of these guys were in the system, have been called up. So that's just how things shake out. But it is interesting. You mentioned Walker Jenkins. He's been taken in two of the last 20 drafts, ADP 745. So some people are specking on him, like you're saying. Manuel Rodriguez is a popular one. He's at 540-ish. And that's the guy I've actually been – I haven't drafted, but every time I'm up in that area, I go back to his player page every time thinking, okay, is this the time to take the chance? Then mention Luke Koschel. Sorry, Koschel. I'm thinking football. 747 ADP. So he's been picked in a few drafts, just like Jenkins. So guys specking on him as well, like you mentioned. So definite possibilities. But yeah, most are in on the Rodriguez thought process, like you are, later in drafted hold formats. And see where it goes.
And again, like none of these guys there's high ADP for. So if you, you know, if you look at these guys and you say, I think it's worth taking a chance, it is a lot harder in an NFBC league where, you know, if you don't have the bench spots in certain formats where it's like, I'm going to hold on to this prospect and just wait. But again, I think there is great potential in a lot of these guys. So if you feel like it's worth taking the dart throw, I think it's they could produce this year. So not bad looks there.
Yep. Yep, no doubt about it. All right, last question I have for you. What are your thoughts / expectations for the 2025 Minnesota Twins?
I'll tell you what, it's funny because the last few years I felt like it's, you know, it used to be just Twins and Guardians, and then the other three teams are going to be the basement dwellers. And now the Royals had a huge bounce back here this past season. I think there is regression there, but I think the Royals will, you know, be contending for the division. The Tigers look like an absolute beast now. They're going to be the team that I'm most worried about. I think the Tigers are for real, and that they're developing pitching and their hitting's coming along. And then obviously the Guardians are just always there. If you're asking me as a pessimistic Twins fan, which I usually am, I am projecting a fourth place finish behind those other three teams based on the fact I don't think we really did much to improve. I think we kind of just stayed pat. And in this league where you see the Dodgers signing 20 people every year for $1 billion, or you see the Phillies acquiring players, you see the Tigers bringing in a ton of great new talent. You see the Royals with a cornerstone in Bobby Witt and building around him. The Twins don't really have a direction right now. And I think it just shows that's why they're consistently 500-ish. Maybe on the best year, they're a little bit over and make the playoffs and get bounced. They don't do anything to impress me. They didn't do anything this offseason. I would love to be wrong. I think they'll only finish above the White Sox in the AL Central.
Yeah, well, time will tell, because I think all four teams are pretty close. So it just takes an injury or two to change things up. And the Twins, I know it's a dumb thing to say, but if they just stay healthy, Like, the team isn't bad. It's just we haven't seen the health with them. I agree the Tigers are scary. I've said it a couple years ago. I'm like, they're a few years away. I still think they're a few years away from being really good. Like, they got so much young talent there. But, again, that all relies on Skubal. If Skubal doesn't do Skubal things, then they take a big step back. Sure. So the Central's fun because it is pretty wide open outside of one team. So that makes it very exciting. And at least it gives you something to look forward to when things warm up that time of the year.
It's funny though. You like think if you're like playing like basketball, right? And you're like, there's 10 players that are going to be picked and you're like, you know what? I'm not going to be the last pick because I know that person is worse than I am at basketball. So you have the confidence where you're like, I know I'm not the worst player here. So maybe the Twins, knowing they're not going to finish last in the division because the White Sox are there, maybe that also helps. Like, I feel like if I was a team and I knew I wasn't going to finish last, like, I would go into the year with already being more confident.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't – obviously, I'm just being stupid, but I think that hopefully that could – that's at least a reassuring feeling knowing that.
Well, and an angle to that, if it comes to, like, for spending-wise – they do have a lot of young talent we talked about. That, like, they're giving Brooks Lee a shot. They're doing all these little things. Maybe they go see what they have for at least part of the season, if not a full season, and they start spending next year. I don't know. I'm just trying to speculate on seeing where things go because you got to find that eventually type deal. So,
yeah,
we'll see. But all right, my friend, always a pleasure chatting with you. Thanks for joining me. Hopefully we can do it again some other time, and I hope everything goes well with you.
Bubba, thanks again for having me. It's always a pleasure doing this with you every year. And for those that are not subscribed to Bubba's Pod, just make sure you're subscribed, man, because this guy's firing content left and right. It's a great, great tool for any fantasy baseball player. So
thanks again for having me, man. Always good talking with you. Make sure you follow Mindy on Twitter at DMindy02. Until next time, this was Bench with Bubba, episode 719. Catch y'all later.